This world is a scary place. All you have to do is watch the news a little bit to get that message. What's going to happen in Iran
this week, this month, this year?
What about North Korea? We're praying for North Korea next Sunday night. What's going to happen in North Korea? What about Egypt? Syria? Israel? What about the United States? If you watch the news very long, you become very uncomfortable. The world is a scary place. It is not a stable place. As we go through the Old Testament, is there a book in the Old Testament that encouraged Israel that in the midst of chaos, God is still on the throne? The answer is yes. The children of Israel were conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. They were removed from the promised land and taken into exile. Daniel was taken with them. And the Lord gave Daniel this beautiful book to encourage them that when they don't understand what's happening in the physical, political world, behind it, in front of it, and above it, there is a God who is in charge. I am so excited to have arrived in our Old Testament survey at the book of Daniel. And I trust in the Lord that you are as excited as I am to dive into this awesome book. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, and help you see the message of the book of Daniel, help you humble yourself before the message of the book of Daniel, and that God would encourage you and change your life today. Pray for you. Would you take a few moments and pray for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and help them to understand the message of Daniel? Pray for your brothers and sisters that they would be edified and built up by the message of this book. Now would you take a few moments and pray for me that I would deliver the message of Daniel accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you as our worship was a sweet aroma. May this sermon be my worship, a sweet aroma to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've already given you the historical background of this awesome book, King Nebuchadnezzar. Because of Israel's sin, God sent the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, against them, and they were carried away from the promised land into exile. In your notes, the book of Daniel is the story of God's people during the exile. The book of Daniel is the story of God's people during the exile. In your notes again, the theme of the book of Daniel is God is sovereign. All right, enough of my talking. Let's get to the real meat. Please open your Bibles, if you haven't already done so, to Daniel 1:1. Follow along with me in front of you or behind me on the screen.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. He brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, used in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. He ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they would enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the command of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So King Nebuchadnezzar attacks, he wins, and he orders that some of the best and brightest young men be brought to Babylon to be trained to serve the king. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are four of those guys. Now, immediately, Daniel has a crisis. Look at verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food, or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Daniel's in a foreign country. They give him food. Daniel knows, I can't eat that food. I can't drink that. He's got an immediate crisis. Look what he does in verse 12. This is Daniel talking. Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food. Deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Daniel stepped out in faith, and the Lord took care of him. The Lord blessed his faith. We are only 15 verses into this book, and already we have a challenge for our personal life. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Are you, my brother or my sister, are you in a situation right now where you are tempted or pressured to do something you know is wrong? Are you in a situation right now where you are tempted or pressured to do something you know is wrong? Number 3 in your notes, brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't ever have to be afraid to do the right thing. You don't ever have to be afraid to do the right thing. People have come to me or come to elders and they say, Pastor Dave, I got a problem. I know this is wrong, but I'm kind of stuck in this situation. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever faced that kind of situation? I know it's wrong, but because of these situations and these people, I'm kind of trapped. Brothers and sisters, look at Daniel. He was trapped but he did the right thing anyway. Follow his example. Follow his example. Chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel prays, and God reveals to Daniel both the dream and its interpretation. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel gives us the theme of the book right here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Throughout the book of Daniel, we see this thing. God says, it is I who set up kings, and it is I who bring them down. You look around the world today, God is in control. It may not look like it to you, but God is in control. Daniel, I love this, Daniel is humble. He refuses to take credit for the wisdom given to him from God. Look at verse 27. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners have been able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. Daniel refuses to take credit for the wisdom that he had. He gives all glory to God. Nebuchadnezzar has a fascinating dream. Be sure and read it. I've got to go fast. I've got to get you through the whole book. But be sure and read Daniel for yourself. I'm going to say that several times throughout the sermon this morning. We don't have time to go into it. Be sure and read it for yourself. The message is in verse 44. Take a look. Have you got 44, Jessica? No, you don't. Yeah, nope. All right, verse 44 in your lap. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. That's the message of the book of Daniel. God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. This is why the persecuted church can endure, is because of this knowledge right here. They know that God will set up a kingdom that will never, ever be destroyed. They know that Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe, and they have the strength to endure with that faith. In chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made a giant image of gold. If you've read the Bible, you know this story very, very much. King Nebuchadnezzar makes a giant image of gold. Anyone who will not bow down to it must be cast into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to bow down. They are arrested. They are hauled in before the king, and look what they have to say. Please turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Look at their defense before the king who is about to kill them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Wow. They look right at the king and say, our God is able to deliver us. But you know what? If he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your God. Phenomenal. All over the world today, our brothers and sisters right now are facing the same challenge. Reject Jesus Christ or go to jail. Lose your job. Lose your family. Or die. Please pray for them. Please pray for them. And please pray for us. Please pray for us. You see the country, you see the direction this country is headed. You can see it. You watch the news. We need to be praying for ourselves as well, that the Lord would strengthen us and help us to stand firm. We, more and more and more, as time goes on, we are going to need the strength to stand firm under persecution right here in this country. None of us face that kind of persecution that our brothers and sisters face around the world for now. But here in America, if you choose to trust and obey Jesus Christ, there are consequences. You might lose your friends. You might be made fun of. You might have trouble at home. You might have trouble at work. The book of Daniel is given to the church to strengthen us and encourage us that God is able to empower us to stand firm. In your notes, the book of Daniel gives us the courage to be faithful to God in a hostile environment. The book of Daniel gives us the courage to be faithful to God in a hostile environment. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It was a miracle that you'd better read about. Read Daniel for yourself. If you don't know the story, it's amazing. King Nebuchadnezzar had a pride problem. He needed to be taught that God was in charge. He thought he was in charge. God humbled him in a very, very, very powerful way in chapter 4 of Daniel and gave him this message. 4:17, behind me on the screen. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is the command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes and sets over it the lowliest of men. God needed to teach Nebuchadnezzar that he's in charge. At the end of Nebuchadnezzar's very, very humbling experience, he has this to say. Look at 35 behind me on the screen. 34. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Aren't you glad God is in charge, no matter what? That's the theme of the book of Daniel. The Israelites have been conquered and carried into exile. God gives Daniel all of these dreams and experiences to show him that he is still in charge. In chapter 5, by the sovereign choice of Almighty God, Babylon is conquered and given over to King Darius of Persia. Now Persia is in charge, and King Darius is in charge. And chapter 6 is one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible. Please open there with me. Chapter 6. Now remember, King Darius of Persia is now in charge. He's conquered Nebuchadnezzar. Not Nebuchadnezzar, but he's conquered Babylon. Daniel 6:1. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commanders, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. So Darius appoints 120 mayors, if you will, and three governors. Daniel was one of those governors. Then this Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to governmental affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." Isn't that great? They want to discredit him. They can't do it. He is, in the words of 1 Timothy 3, above reproach. They can find no ground of accusation against him. So they say, the only way we're going to trip him up is if we make it illegal to worship the Lord. Then we'll get him. They know Daniel pretty well, don't they? So they do that. They get the king to make a law that says you can only pray to Darius. Of course, Daniel breaks that law, and he is thrown into the lion's den. Be sure and read the story for yourself. That's the theme of all of this Old Testament survey. Read the Old Testament yourself. At the end of the story, Daniel makes this declaration. Look at verse 26 in front of you or behind me on the screen. This is Darius. "I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." God is in charge. That's the theme of the book. Now, chapters 7 through 12 are Daniel's dreams. These dreams are incredible, and they are an amazing testimony to the truth of the Word of God. Amazing testimony to the truth of the Word of God. Daniel dreams about the future. Babylon, Persia, and then Greece. He dreams about what, from his perspective, is the future. And the dreams are so accurate. We, in 2013, can look back over history and see that the dreams about the future that Daniel wrote down are so incredibly accurate. Brothers and sisters, you can trust the Bible. You can trust the Bible. The dreams of Daniel are so accurate that skeptics, people that are trying to discredit the Bible, they don't look at Daniel and say, "Look, he blew it here. He blew that. That is not the way it happened. He blew that. That's not the way it happened." No, what do? When they try to discredit the Bible, they say, "Well, that's so accurate, it couldn't have been written then. It had to have been written later." You can trust the Bible. Daniel gives us a testimony that the Bible is incredibly accurate. The first dream, chapter 7, teaches us something incredibly important. That the kingdoms of the earth will ultimately be ruled by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you here today and you have not bowed down to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you here today and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I want to tell you today that He is Lord. He is Lord. And He will return someday, and according to the book of Daniel, He will set up a kingdom that will never be shaken. That will never be shaken. If you have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted His free gift of a relationship with you, please come and talk to the elders afterwards. Chapter 9 is also very, very important. Chapter 8 is important. In chapter 9, Daniel is reading Jeremiah. You see how the Old Testament all fits together? Brothers and sisters in Christ, read all 39 books over and over again because they explain each other. They explain each other. Look at Jeremiah 25 behind me on the screen. This is the prophecy of Jeremiah. This whole land, the promised land, Israel. This is Jeremiah, the final prophet before the exile. This whole land will be a desolation and horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. Daniel read that prophecy. And in response to that prophecy, he prays. And the angel Gabriel comes and gives him a very short prophecy, assuring him that God is still in control. There's one final dream, chapter 10. Daniel fasts and prays. And in chapter 10, brothers and sisters, we learn of the ongoing spiritual warfare happening. Happened then, happening now. In chapter 10, we learn about the ongoing spiritual warfare and the power of prayer. Daniel prays, and he fasts, and he prays. And he's given this awesome message. An angel comes and says, I have come in response to your prayers. Read the book of Daniel. Learn about the spiritual warfare and the real power of prayer. What hope and what lessons can we take from this beautiful book? Brothers and sisters, as you watch the news, as you see the world going crazy, the book of Daniel reminds us that no matter who you think is in charge, God is really in charge. And the verse I want to remind you of again is chapter 4, verse 17. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows on it whom He wishes and sets over it the lowliness of men. How did the saints of old find strength to endure? They knew by faith that God is the king. They knew by faith that God is the king. Our brother, Pastor Saheed, is in Iran right now. God is giving him the strength to endure. And Saheed knows and takes by faith that God is in charge. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom and in whom service he is in prison, will set up a kingdom that will never be shaken. In your notes, a very simple statement: God is in charge. The book of Daniel was written to encourage them, and the book of Daniel is given to the church to encourage us. Brothers and sisters, what temptation are you facing right now? What pressure are you facing right now? Are you tempted to compromise? Are you tempted to do something you know is wrong because you feel trapped or pressured, or that there's no other way out? Do you watch the news? Do you surf the internet and look in fear, wondering if the country you love will be around tomorrow? You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear. Because your king is Jesus, and he'll be around tomorrow. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you are the Most High. You are ruler over the realm of mankind, and you bestow on it whomever you wish. You will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. You are the King. We worship you now, and we will worship you for all eternity. Forgive us. Forgive us for looking in fear at what we see. For what we see is temporary, but what we do not see is eternal. Help us to live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.